Hey, good morning. As has been mentioned, my name's Keith, and Marg and I have been a part of this church now for about 16 years, an active part. Prior to that, we lived in Sydney and were involved in ministry within Churches of Christ. Marg was coordinating family and community support programs at Tilopia and Pendle Hill Church of Christ, and I was involved in three local church ministries and then in theological education training. We're in the middle of a three-week series that is based on Colossians 4 and verse 12. Let me just remind you of that passage. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. That you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Matt shared last week very helpfully on the important theme of standing firm. And I'm sharing today on that middle area of maturity. I know everybody thinks that what they teach is the most important thing, but actually, I believe this issue of Christian maturity is at the heart of who we are and what God is doing in the world today. And if we are in any way, and I believe we are, to be a part of the renewal of the Central Coast, it will come primarily by who we are. What we say and what we do is important, but our community, the Central Coast, is crying out for people who express the key themes of the mature God whom we love and serve, who is about love and grace. This, as I was preparing for this, the theme of Groundhog Day kept coming into my mind. Now, I'm not even sure, or I wasn't sure, what Groundhog Day is all about. Some of you probably know pretty well, but I looked it up on the web. And I gather it's a 1993 romantic comedy. And from what I've read, because I haven't watched the film, the key theme is a person who basically is not able or allowed to go out or to leave home until he has learned a couple of basic lessons. In other words, there's something absolutely crucial to be learned before you go on, and if we don't learn them well, if we don't do them well, then we won't be able to go on very effectively. As I was reflecting on that, I was drawn right back to my early school days when I was learning to read. And I can't remember whether it was first class or second class, but the reading agenda was not only being taught the basics of reading, but there were a series of books, I now believe probably graded in difficulty, and multiple copies of each of these books, and once you had read in your own time the first one, then you handed that in and got the second one. I recognised that some of my friends were on to their third or fourth book and I was still on my first. So I did a very silly thing. I handed in my first before I'd finished it. And then I handed in my second before I'd finished it. And then I handed in my third before I'd read very much of it because I wasn't really able to read it. Fast forward to today, and I am still an extremely slow reader, and it has been a handicap to me in all of my future life. I cheated on the basics, and therefore the Groundhog Day of actually getting the basics right needed somehow to be addressed. So what we're sharing today is it's 101, but it's absolutely crucial. To some extent, I'm going to actually rattle through it, and some of the scripture I will just refer to rather than either having it up or reading it, because you probably have seen it or heard it 100 or 1,000 times. But we're going to rattle through some basics, because this is Groundhog Day. Christian maturity is the essence. What do we mean by Christian maturity? From a biblical perspective, it's very straightforward. Growing to be like Christ, like Jesus. Having the qualities, the character, the capacities of God in Jesus, and the Spirit's work in us producing those qualities. And as you've probably become very aware, the best summary of that is the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. But in almost every one of Paul's letters, something similar, what the key qualities of basic Christian character and maturity is, are expressed. And just a chapter before this in Colossians, this is what is said, and I'm just going to read it in the Message. The NIV is there just to show you that the Message is accurate in what it says. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you: compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offence. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Dress in this new life of love. But then notice that it majors on compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. These key qualities of who we are will actually be the basis for anything effective that we either say or do. Wear that basic all-purpose garment of love. Love brings the security of God into our lives, allowing us to be adults, to be mature, to respond neither aggressively in an unfortunate way or defensively in a non-effective way, so that we are able to be secure in who we are, in our relationships and in our work and in our home. The love and grace of God are expressed most beautifully and poignantly in probably the best known verse or couple of verses in the New Testament. John 3. I'm going to read verses 16 and 17, and I'll explain why in a moment. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Love of God through Jesus and the cross leading to grace, to being able to be forgiven, to be repentant, to start again. And the essence of our lives is that we are humble people, because we know we muck it up regularly. And we need the Spirit of God and the love of God and the grace of God, so that we go out into this world as people who actually express that love and that grace. But the question must come, what does that actually mean? What are the principles of that, or how do we actually get to do it? If we are going to renew the Central Coast, if we're going to contend in prayer and in life for maturity, what are the key themes of that, and how might we actually go further, or even, very rarely I'd say, because we're all on the journey, get started? I want to suggest to you that it starts very close to home or at home. It starts in us. And the simple question I ask myself and challenge myself very regularly about is, are you living in thankfulness and gratitude for the love and grace of God and for those around you? Because you see, the two key areas of difference that will be made through the Spirit of God in our life as He grows us to be more like Jesus is that we will become more other-centered. We will become more God-centered. We will become more neighbor-centered. We will actually be able, through the Spirit of God in us, to love our neighbor as we do love ourselves, to actually do unto others as they would have us do unto us. These are things that are not able to be attained in our own disciplined lives. These are part of the work of God. We need to be good stewards and to have values that are focused on God and on other people. We need to have compassion and caring, but the actual impetus, the dynamic, comes from the Spirit of God within us. The second very brief but important way to go about all of this is to recognize that it begins at home. There are concentric circles of this love. It starts within us, and then it is to those whom we are closest to. It is the opportunity for us to begin at home, the callings that we have from God to live in love and grace. And if my wife and my children cannot see that in me, then to some extent at least, I lack the credibility to go further. But there's another principle that I think is really important as well. And that's the principle that we start small. Don't seek to change the world in dramatic or absolutely miraculous ways, at least for most of us. Start with something that is bite-sized. Start with something that actually is a further step, but it's actually not too hard. This principle is expressed in Luke 16 and verse 10, where Jesus says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." And another one that I love is actually in Matthew 10. "If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward." A cup of cold water. We can all do that. That resource, thankfully, is available to all of us so that we can start at a level which is actually not going to be discouraging for us in terms of reaching out. Marg and I have been in a in a transition of ministry for quite a while now, mainly chosen transition, and mainly because of the aging process and not as much resilience or whatever. So we've been gradually withdrawing from some of the ministries that we've had for quite a while. But something else has been happening quietly and even to me, almost imperceptibly. There's been another ministry that's actually taking place. Some of you will know that I'm a walker. I'm actually addicted to walking or to exercise, and getting older doesn't actually help in that space. But I walk most days in the CBD of Gosford, where we live. And I've done that for quite a number of years. And if you walk in the same area, because I walk in the Imperial Centre and I walk around the shops, you actually initially get to know the people who are there, first of all by a smile or a nod or a hello, but then there are quite a number of those shopkeepers whom I've actually come not to have as bosom buddies or absolutely best friends or anything, but I know them and they know me. So I've come to know the lady who has just closed her shop and who I'd been praying would be able to keep it open because Gosford is actually being revived. There are about 400 units that are being built within 300 metres of where Marg and I live right at this moment, and other areas of Gosford. There's a change taking place. And one of my prayers was that the shopkeepers would be able just to hang out until this new influx happens, but this lady couldn't do it. So I've probably seen her for the last time. I thank God for the opportunity that I had just one day to stop and ask her how she was going in the closing down process, and she shared how difficult it was. And I gently said to her at one point in that conversation, "Do you have a faith that would help you in these difficult times?" And she said, "I used to have, but I got hurt in a church and my heart just sank." I think of the lady whom I see nearly every day when I buy my Diet Coke. And she's warm and friendly, and I said to her one morning, because she's in a bakery with her husband, "What time do you get up every day?" She said, "I get up at 3:30 in the morning." Can you imagine? I can hardly imagine that. Sometimes I'm not asleep by 3:30 in the morning. 3:30 in the morning. And this lady is encouraging and she's positive and she's gentle. I think of the man who stood outside his shop and said to me, as I said g'day to him, "Can you get a few people to come in here, please?" So he wanted me to go out as the evangelist for his bag shop. I must admit I've been a hopeless evangelist in that area. And then there's the supermarket. I'm aware that there's quite a percentage of our population who actually love shopping, even are addicted to shopping. That's a long way from where I am, but not in the supermarket, I can tell you. Supermarkets are not fun places. I'm actually quite able to express that opinion because I've done our grocery shopping for a fair percentage of our married life. I'm not going to tell you how I got into that, but I actually made a bet with my wife and I thought I was absolutely safe and I lost. So I was pledged to do the grocery shopping, and our kids said to me, "Dad, we can get you out of that if you like." And I said, "How?" They said, take one of us with you and buy a few things we want and Mum will take it back. So I go a couple of times a week at least to the supermarket, and it's so hard to find anybody who smiles. I'm not talking about the staff, they're fantastic. The presentation of the goods is incredible, you know, and I'm not bashing the supermarket. But somehow or another, there's not a lot of joy, there's not a lot of positiveness. Where all, I actually think we need probably some trolley rules rather than road rules, because I'm a bit amazed there hasn't been some trolley rage in the supermarket I go into. So somehow or another, just a smile, just a nod, look at people to see if you can connect with them in some way. For me, if there's any possibility, offer to get the thing from up that the lady who's not tall enough can't actually reach. And you never know what that might open up by way of the opportunity to share the love and the grace of God. Make it real in our own lives through being thankful and gracious and grace. Start at home, and start in a way that actually is almost imperceptible. And I believe then the renewal of the Central Coast becomes something that every one of us can be an integral part of, and that can build and build on the absolute basics that are in our lives through the maturity and the Spirit of God, so that we will be love and grace to our community, the Central Coast. I want to just conclude with what's almost a benediction over us as we go from this place of worship and of gathering together. And it comes from Philippians chapter 2, and I'm reading from verse 16. As a benediction. Do everything readily and cheerfully. Go out into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God.